Good morning.
It is a good morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was saying to one of the sisters before the service began, I had mixed blessings, mixed feelings, I should say. I was sorry for my fellow saints who were coming in the rain, but I was so happy for my garden. We water our garden, but nothing is as good for plants as God's rain. Farmers and gardeners know that. Now, as has been announced several times, this morning, we are going to attempt to do a gospel outreach. The dates again are July 29th, August 12th, and the 20th. My message this morning is directly associated with that effort. But before I do it, I want to make an appeal to every one of the members of Good Tidings. If at all possible, you should be there on those days. Maybe you can't make all of them, but we have lots of things for you to do. We have tract distribution. We have prayer tables that have to be manned. We have the need of people meeting other people and witnessing to them, as well as just a general support for those who will be performing and preaching. It's always nice to see a friendly face. So if you can come out, by all means, come out. Now, my message this morning is directly aimed at two things. One is improving our ability to witness and deliver the gospel during the outreach. But I also want to urge you and let you recognize that the outreach is not the only field of witness. And I want to join with you in improving our ability to spread and preach the gospel. So that's where we're going this morning. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And I will be reading, we're going to concentrate on verse 16, but for sake of where we're going, I'm going to read 15 and 17 also. So, from verse 15, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm sure the Lord would add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would have your word go out this morning and have it affect each and every one of us. Let it strengthen us. Let us strengthen each other. And we pray, dear Lord and Heavenly Father, that as we move forward in the effort of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you would get all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, let's just look at verse 16 for a minute. And we'll be going back and forth with that. But I want to notice the first line. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, I want to venture out that not only was Paul not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but Paul was supremely confident and proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the first point that I want to make is that we as believers should have that same attitude. We should have that attitude. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word gospel in the Bible, the Greek word means good news. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. And we as believers should take the approach that I have good news. I have good news. It is the truth of God. The gospel is the truth. And it's also God's word. Now, a lot of people are a little shy about delivering the gospel. You know, not so much, because if you get up here, I find it easier to preach the gospel from the stage than to witness to someone one-on-one. Because I'm up here. You can't get to me. Ha ha. Okay? But when we're delivering the one-on-one, we're a little shy. And I want you to think about that. We all have been in arguments and debates. And if you've ever been in an argument and a debate where you know that you are right, right? The other person may be arguing, and he may have added, but you know that the facts are on your side. You know that the evidence is on your side. And when you're having that argument, you're going full force. I know I'm right. I know you're wrong. I know I'm right. Whatever the issue is that you want to argue about, whether it's what time it is, what color the sky is, whether 2 and 2 is 4, whatever your argument is going to be, when you're arguing and you know that you are right, your attitude changes. Right? Yes. Am I wrong? Can I get an amen? Am I wrong here? Amen. We know that. So if you are confident in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you know that this is the truth of God, if you know that this is the way that things are, you can go ahead and be confident in your conversation. Okay, you don't have to prove, you know, a lot of times you don't even have to prove it. You just have to be confident. Paul had a unique advantage. He had experiential dealings with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was met on the road to Damascus, and Jesus Christ himself said to him, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And he got a whole set of instructions and revelations through that. We don't have that. We have something better. We have the Word of God, which tells us about Paul's encounter with Jesus Christ. On top of that, as believers, we have our spiritual experience. We know, particularly if you have been in God's as a saved person over a period of time, you cannot hide the fact that God has dealt with you. He has protected you. He has helped you. He has aided you. I can't tell you how many times, personally, I've had a problem that I look at that problem and I say, oh boy, I'm in trouble now. And usually when I find those situations, as a seasoned Christian now, I can say, Lord, I'm putting this in your hands. And it is absolutely amazing how God comes to my rescue time after time after time. Sometimes I don't even realize it. I go to bed with a problem and I wake up and it's not a problem anymore. I don't know how God does it, because his ways are different from our ways. But we know experientially that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth. It works. We know that. So therefore, if we know that, we should have no trouble sitting down with someone and say, hey, you know what? Where are you with God? I want to tell you where I am with God. It's a conversation. And you are not ever required to talk somebody into salvation. That's not your job. Your job is to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have these verses that bolster us, that we can use. Acts 4 and verse 12. And it'll come up on there. For there is salvation, nor there is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. We live that. So we can say it. In 1 Timothy 1 and 12, Paul says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And we live by those words. We find comfort from those words as believers. Take those words with you when you go into your witnessing. In Romans 8 and 38, one of my most favorite verses in all the world, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor the present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. When you live by those words, it is easy to witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth is always right. So what is this gospel that we're talking about? John 3:16, but thank you, my brother. He quoted it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. God loves you. God loves the world. God loves each and every individual in this world. Each and every individual in this world. He loved them to the point of sending his Son to die for them. And we needed to be saved. We all know the story. Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit and they were put out of the garden. And because of that, we all are born with sin nature. We don't have any trouble committing sins. Sin is not an issue for us. Doing wrong things is not a, we do them every day. You get caught doing something you weren't supposed to do, and the first thing out of your mouth is a lie. Well, it really wasn't that way. I didn't mean for it to come out that way. I didn't see that sign, officer. I didn't know I was not supposed to make a left turn at that sign. So on and so forth. We have sinning. The Bible says that in Romans 3 and 23, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, the beauty of that verse for me is that I'm not alone. It says all have sinned. I know I'm a sinner. I know y'all are sinners. I know that the world out there are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6 and 23, Paul writes that the wages of sin, since we're all sinners, the wages of sin is death. We have earned our punishment. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, we earn something and God gives us something else. All you have to do is take it. And that's the gospel. Romans 8 says, God commended his love towards us. In other words, God sent his love in our direction in that while we were yet sinners, during the time that we were sinners, God sent his love to us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the gospel. You know, the beauty of the gospel is that it's so simple. It is so simple. Mankind has a need. We are separated from God. We are sinners. God loves us. He cares about mankind. God creates a plan for mankind. He sends his Son, and his Son dies on the cross and covers all of our sins. The last part of that series is that we have to accept it. That's the gospel. That's why the gospel is so simple. You don't have to do anything. You can't buy it. You can't work your way into heaven. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you will be saved. Amen. It can't get any simpler than that. So there's no complication in delivering the gospel. Tell them the truth. Tell them what it is. You need a Savior. Christ is the Savior that you need. You need to accept him. The decision now is on your part. It doesn't get that hard. And you need to do it, and I have to tell you, you need to do it in a meek and mild manner. The Bible tells us that we are to witness to the love of God in a friendly, loving, and caring way. That's what the Bible says. I'll get to that verse later on. So, my time is going just about right. I should be over by 2. Okay. So we have this gospel. And if you are here today, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're a little confused about this thing that I'm putting forth, I urge you not to leave this building until you come and see me or another brother and speak to us about what that means for you. Because if you walk out this door without the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart, the next hour is not promised to you. They say the next day is not promised to you. The next hour isn't promised to you. You get in a car and you're at the mercy of some crazy drivers out there. You climb onto the subway and there are people pushing people onto the tracks. You walk down the street and people driving by on scooters and shooting at you. Tomorrow is not promised. You need to make sure today that the gospel of Jesus Christ covers you. Amen? So we have this gospel. Can we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? We're going to be reading from verses 3 to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 3 to 7. Now, Paul gets a little convoluted here, so I'm going to try to break it down for you a little bit. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them who are lost. Make no mistake about it. Sinners of this world, the sinners of this world, the gospel is hidden from them by the devil and by the world. It's hidden from them. In whom the God of this world, that's not Jesus Christ, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. So don't get mad at sinners when they act a fool. They just acting out who they are. And the devil has blinded them. The world has blinded them to the point that they don't recognize that they're sinners. They don't recognize that many times they are doing things wrong. And they don't need to hear. And they feel they don't need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The devil doesn't want the gospel spread. Okay, that's why we are having 3 gospel outreaches. Because we're getting ready to do battle with the devil. Not us, but we representing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that by not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By being confident in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, the gospel, and ourselves for your servant. For God who commanded the light, God who sent the light, who's the light? Jesus. We know that. We just had a conversation about it. Commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. Jesus came to this dark, benighted world, this lost world, and he was the light of the world. And while he was here, he shone. And when he left his light with us. has shined it into our hearts. Do you understand it? As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are one of the light bulbs in God's tree. And you need to shine. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 7. If you didn't understand what the point that I'm getting at. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure within our bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are possessors of the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And shame on you if you don't use every opportunity to give that treasure away. Shame on me. And shame on you. We have a treasure that God has given to us. We have a population that is in need of that treasure. They are blinded. They are walking around stumbling over each other. They are falling into ditches, and they need our help and our assistance to be saved from a lost eternity. How dare we not participate in trying to affect their salvation? Romans chapter 10, reading from verse 8. Romans chapter 10, reading from verse 8. But what does it say? The gospel they're talking about. What does the gospel say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That the message concerning faith that we proclaim, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the gospel. That's the word that should be coming, that's in our mouth and should be coming out of our mouth. For it is with your heart that you believe. And again, this is really directing towards anyone here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Amen. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the word of God tells me that I will never be put to shame. Amen. For representing him. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no difference between anybody, because everyone needs the gospel. The same is Lord of all and richly blessed who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We're talking gospel here. Any one of those blind people walking around, lost and stumbling, that we encounter and we point out to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, all they have to do is accept it. Amen? 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 So watch this now. How then can they call on the one who they don't believe in? They're not going to find it by themselves. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard of? Where are they supposed to hear it from? Us. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? You get an idea where we come in? You get an idea? They're lost. They have no hope. And until they encounter the gospel of Jesus Christ, they remain without hope. It is our job to preach to them. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? You know you were sent, right? Matthew 28. Let's just read it. Might as well. We're here. Matthew 28. The last chapter in Matthew. The last two verses, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. That was written to every disciple of Jesus Christ at the time, and every disciple of Jesus Christ out into the future. That's your job. That's your job. You have been sent. I like this last verse. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We're back to Romans 10. I'm sorry. It says, how beautiful, not that we have beautiful feet, but Jesus is saying that in my eyes, I love you. I've saved you. You're coming to me. You're going to be my brother. We're going to be in heaven together. But blessed you are, you are more beautiful to me when you're preaching the gospel. But verse 16, not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is through the word of Christ. Again, I said to you, you don't have to convince anybody of the gospel. You just have to tell them. The gospel does its own work. The Spirit of God does its own work. Okay, but we have a responsibility to step forward and preach the word of God. So, last point that I want to make is, be ready. Timothy chapter 4. Timothy chapter 4. Did I give you the right message? Let me see. I could have messed it up for you. No, that's it. Second Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2, I'm sorry, my notes, I scratched it out, I thought it was a zero. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, I love the King James Version, but you know what in season and out of season means, right? It means all the time, because you can only be in season or out of season. So you should be ready to preach the gospel at all times. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We all know this one very well. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So number one, we have to be ready to preach the gospel, and we have to be prepared to preach the gospel. And you do that by studying the word of God. Studying, the more Bible you know, the better off you are. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord the God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. You know what this verse tells you? It tells you you're going to get an opportunity. That's what it says. It says that you need to be ready and be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason. People are going to ask you, particularly if you are living your life according to God's principles. They will see a difference in you. They will see a light in you that their darkness doesn't understand. And that's going to give you an opening every single time. They're going to ask you, what's up with you? Why are you always so happy? You know, we have to work overtime. What you smiling about? Whatever it is, you are going to get opportunities. I promise you. And I'm saying, be ready and be prepared. Summarize. Be confident when giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have the truth. You have the facts, and you're right. Know the gospel. Know the parameters, what the gospel of Jesus Christ says, so that you can explain it to someone in the simplest forms possible. The simpler, the better. Be aware that you are the owners of a treasure that the world needs, and that your job is to disseminate that treasure. And be ready at all times to preach the gospel. Now, I have been preaching primarily, although my description of the gospel would have been sufficient for someone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if there's someone here in this room who does not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I'll help you out if you're confused about whether you know him or not. If you have never said in your heart to God in heaven, Lord, I need a Savior. Come into my heart and save me from my sins. If you have never said that, then you're still not saved. And you need to take care of that today. I am here. Brother Trevor is here. Brother Jerry is here. Brother Sam is here. Brother Ray is here. Brother Lloyd is here. Brother Vic is here. Brother Rich is here. Brother Steve is here. Brother Tony is here. Brother Rich is in the back. Brother Eric is here. There are brothers here who will be more than happy to sit down with you and show you from the Bible how you can become a Christian. And if you are a woman and you would feel more comfortable with a brother, there are sisters here who will be more than happy too. There's Sister Yvette, Sister Avia, Sister, I'm drawing a blank on the name, Sister Halda, Sister, Sister Gresham, Sister Marge, Sister Paulette, Sister Crystal. There are people here who, because of the love of God, are dying for someone to come and ask about Jesus Christ, because we want you all to be saved. Because that's what God has commanded us to do, to love the world and preach the gospel for the salvation of souls. So if you're here today, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want to, there are ample opportunity for you now. I will be here. There is a program afterwards, the VBS program, which is going to take place in here. Many of the saints will remain, so if you're a little shy to run up down right away, later on, just grab somebody and ask them. And if they can't do it, I guarantee you, they can steer you to someone who can. Let us pray. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and whosoever means anybody, that who believes on him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Father, we thank you for this word. Your word tells us that your word does not go out and return again void. We don't know what the effects are as we say that, but we bless your word, and we give you thanks for the opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless those, everyone who is here. For those who are believers, give them a blessing. For those who are not, give them no rest until they come to know you as Savior. For we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.